So this organisation, Our Big Kitchen, I believe it started in 2005, and it had a very interesting inception. Can you tell us a bit about the story of how you came to having this organisation?
Well, it started like most married men who wanted to keep their wives happy. My wife began her career, strange enough, as a hairdresser. And from there, it popped into this, because from hairdressing, she went into doing wigs. That brought her into contact with patients going through treatment who would lose their hair, and that's very, very traumatic. And she felt a great sense of mission to be able to give, particularly the women who are going through a treatment, an identity in terms of their hair. And but alongside that, she would ask them how they're managing for their food, what are they doing, how they're feeding the families. And inevitably, they break down and cry and say they're struggling, they can't make it. And she began sharing meals and then getting volunteers to do meals initially out of our house. And it grew and grew and grew. The hair side of the business is now well gone, but the food side has grown to 70,000 meals a year.
Wow. So I believe you have some kind of, it's not a kitchen in your house anymore. It's more of an industrial scale situation.
So at the moment, what we have is we have a kitchen which is about 300 square meters, fully industrial kitchen, really well fitted out. And we cast a very, very wide net. So it's simply about connecting, helping, and empowering people where food is the language. And whether it's people coming from different backgrounds to connect, which is very, very important. Connecting is extremely important. You know, ahead of Australia Day, we live in a wonderful country. But if we don't get to know our neighbors, the country is a little less wonderful. And giving people opportunities, empowering them with food is very, very important, particularly people with special needs who we have through the kitchen, people who have come out of incarceration and need to be given a second chance, and the list goes on, as well as helping people, those who are simply in need of a nutritious and healthy meal.
I mentioned before these kind of this real discrepancy between in Australia we waste a lot of food, but also there's a portion of society who don't have food. So in your operation, how do you source the food to help these people?
Well, you mentioned Food Bank, and I want to take the opportunity really to thank Food Bank,
okay,
who are an incredible organization, highly professional, and an absolute pleasure to deal with. We've been with Food Bank for a very, very, very long time, and I can tell you, we talk about tens of thousands of meals that we prepare. If it was not for Food Bank per se and other charities, but Food Bank in particular, we would never be able to do the sort of things that we do. So Food Bank are fantastic. And what they do in a nutshell is they see to it that any food which is edible, whether it's from the farmers and there's a bit of a blemish, or whether it's from the retailers and it's marked out of date or packaged wrong, or things may have changed, regulation changes, but perfectly edible food gets collected, gets distributed to tens and even hundreds of charities around the state and around the country to be utilized. For us, that's something which we take a great deal of pleasure in doing, getting that food, cooking it, and getting it to those who need it.
You mentioned that it's a pretty large volume that you're producing at the moment, and I'm interested to know, how do you distribute the food to make sure that all of these tens of thousands of meals are reaching the people that really need it?
So the way it works is like this. A great majority of the meals that get cooked happens through corporate team buildings. So let me take on a bit of a journey. So you're a company, and you've done your whitewater rafting, you've done your paintball shooting, you've done the different things that companies traditionally do for team building. Now, those are wonderful things, like water rafting and paintball shooting and other things of that nature, but it don't particularly have a wonderful social impact on the world that we live in. So we encourage companies to come along to the kitchen and build a team spirit around preparing food for those who don't have. So when companies come in, they pay for the experience, they get fed, they have an opportunity to bond, and essentially they buy those meals. The meals that they prepare are theirs. And we ask those companies to give those meals to the charities that they have a relationship with. So if there's a charity that has a relationship with the Children's Hospital, with Beer Cottage, with tens of wonderful organizations, they will get in touch with the organization, the charity that needs the food, the homeless shelter, the aged care facilities, or simply saying thank you to the police, fire, ambo, army, SES, and the company comes in and prepares those meals at our place. But for that period of time, we are effectively an extension of the charity who are receiving the meals. So if the Children's Hospital needs some biscuits for their volunteers, great. GE want to come and bake them, even better. So GE comes to us because having 15, 20, 30, 50, 60 people from a company hanging around the Children's Hospital doesn't really work well. So this is how we ensure that the meals go to where they belong, because in fact, the people who are preparing them choose the destination where the food is going to go to.
It's probably a pretty good way to get to know your colleagues, spending a morning with them in the kitchen.
It's a fantastic way. It's a lot of fun. It's a real eye-opener, and it's a great leveler, because the CEO and the receptionist all chop vegetables in the same way. And sometimes, you know, people who in the corporate structure may be seen as less effective really shine in the kitchen environment. And that's true for corporates. It's particularly true for children. And we do a lot of work with children, whether children's birthday parties. You know, for instance, a children's birthday party, instead of a child turning 8 and saying, I've turned 8, and you will all give me presents. Instead, I've turned 8. And the question is, who can I help? Extremely, extremely important lesson for a child.
Wow.
And they love it. Children of all ages, as we say.
Far less bruises than paintball as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you walk away, when you're finished, there's a stack of meals. We'll take, you know, a hero shot of all those pictures with a group. And you get to, as a child, go down and watch their whole journey, where raw food, through your effort, has been turned into cooked, delicious food. And we'll explain to the children, this is food that very often was destined for landfill, is now beautiful, healthy meals, which they can deliver, and they can see the expressions of the recipients, which is a wonderful thing. You know, every single child is born knowing how to say please when they need something, crying 2 o'clock in the morning when they're hungry or need to be changed. But children have to really learn the wonderful, it's an acquired taste, the wonderful taste of being able to help others. And again, you know, ahead of Australia Day, few things are more important than being able to be sensitive to our neighbors, knowing our neighbors, being sensitive to them and bringing a meal to them, something which has taken place around the world for thousands of years. Sadly, in Australia, because of our abundance of blessing, we become detached, and that blessing can, in fact, turn into a curse. We got to make sure that we know our neighbors, we know the people, our neighbors down the street and across the city who need help. And because ultimately, we're all in a situation at some point in time that we're going to need help. When a baby is born, when a person is made redundant, a loved one is lost, there's always going to be a time that we could use not only the warm meal, but the incredible love and empathy that comes with it.
It's a great incentive. And if people are tuning in and listening and thinking, wow, I'd really like to get involved and help out, what should they do? Where can they find the contact details?
Website.
On the
lbk.org.au, our big kitchen. And the name says it all. It's a big kitchen. It's not mine. And Matt, it's not yours, but it's ours. It's all of us.
Okay.
Anybody that comes to the kitchen, owns the place, come in with your friends, come in and volunteer, come in and bring a healthy attitude and walk away knowing that today you and your friends have made a huge difference.